Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 18. I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church. I want the church family to know that our middle schoolers and high schoolers have been involved in a discipleship ministry all year long. Really, they started this in the fall, and they work up to Christmas, and then they work through the spring. And all the students that have committed to that and have finished that as a part of their program, they have a little trip they're going on this week. Our middle schoolers, are staying in Florida and doing something, maybe going to an amusement park and having some fun together, kind of celebrate their victory. Our high school students leave tomorrow to go to Washington, D.C. They have several very significant appointments that are there. Well, they'll get to meet leaders in our nation and hear testimonies and things like that, and they'll get to see some of the great sights there. But we're so proud of our young people, and when we finish the service this morning, I want to just have prayer for them, and we're excited about that. This is a period of time when a lot of folks are going on mission trips. A lot of our college students are headed overseas for the summer. Matt Seitz is organizing a trip for some folks that are going. They're going to East Asia, and they are making a tremendous impact there. They're going to be leaving in June. So we have a number of our people trying to make an impact in the world for the Lord. So we need to be in prayer for everybody that is traveling. We have a group of our church that's leaving tomorrow to go to the Holy Land. So that trip is tomorrow morning, and I'm going, I think, if I can get my suitcase packed. But anyway, just be praying for all kinds of stuff that is happening. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And to the angel of the church at Thyatira write, "These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Unless they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star." Verse 29, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Well, we have all kinds of people here at North Central. All people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds, live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time. Some just got married. Some have kids. Some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we do not understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples, who will in turn make disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is wonderful. Now, John gives us an outline in our text today. He gave us the outline in chapter 1 for the entire book of the Revelation. I want you to just flip one page back in your Bible to Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. He says, write these things, and of course we're reading what John wrote. That's what we're studying, the book of Revelation. Write these things which you have seen, all right? That was a picture of what happened in chapter 1. John saw a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he had white flowing hair, and he had his feet were like fine brass, verse 15 says. All of that was the vision. And then he says, and the things which are. Now, the things which are the conditions of these churches at the time of his writing. And that's what we're into right now. We're studying the things which are. But then we're going to get into the things which will take place after this. So he gives us that outline. Jesus has a message for the seven churches. And that's what we're into right now. If you remember, Ephesus was the first one. And all these churches are in what is now modern-day Turkey. And sort of in a clockwise way, you go around a horn here and you go several miles to each one, 20 miles here. This one today, Thyatira, is 40 miles east of Pergamos, or Pergamum, as some of your translations say. And so the passages that we're in right now, we're studying these different churches that Jesus had a particular message to. Now, why do we need to study them? Well, because they were designed for all the churches, and there are principles that are in every one of these churches that we need to hear because we're a church and because we're believers in Jesus Christ. And so there's a message that we're to get from those. Ephesus was the church that left its first love, remember? And the admonition was do the first things. By the way, most of these problems in these churches can be solved if people will get into the Word of God and will know and understand the Word of God. A lot of them are doctrinal issues that they had. Smyrna was an exception to that because it was the suffering church. And Smyrna was in a bad situation where they were being persecuted intensely. This whole region was being persecuted, but Smyrna in particular, and the Lord noticed that. And his answer to them, his admonition to them was, do not fear because I am coming again. Now, Pergamos was the compromising church. And the answer for that was, he said, those that do not compromise, he says, I have hidden manna for you. Well, what is that hidden manna for us? That hidden manna is the Word of God, the nourishment of God's Word that helps us live our Christian life in a day of compromise. And oh, we have a day of compromise, don't we? We have a big day of compromise. And so that was the church at Pergamos. Today, we're talking about Thyatira. And the title of the message is Thyatira, the Corrupt Church. Now, Thyatira was inland on a route that was about 40 miles due east of Pergamum or Pergamos. And that was the city of Thyatira. The church in Thyatira may have first heard the gospel from Lydia. You remember Lydia in the book of Acts? She was a seller of purple. They were known for dyeing fabric in Thyatira. And Lydia is mentioned in Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15, and she was converted under Paul's ministry. She may have gone back and made an impact in her own hometown of Thyatira. But interestingly, now there is a woman, a self-claimed prophetess, who was influencing the church. Her name, Jezebel, as is told to us in the passage here, suggests that she was corrupting Thyatira, the church, much like Ahab's wife Jezebel corrupted Israel. Now, if you want to just make a note here, you can go back and study in 1 Kings chapter 16 what Jezebel did. I remember when I was a kid, my pastor, when we had VBS, he would tell Bible stories, and he would go up and down the aisles, and little kids, you know, we'd be sitting there with our eyes bug-eyed, man, here's the pastor run up and down talking about Jezebel. You know, Jezebel, a prophet came into Jezreel, Elijah had prophesied that Jezebel was going to die and the dogs were going to eat her body. Okay? That's what Elijah prophesied in 1 Kings. Well, there's a passage in 1 Kings that talks about how that when a prophet came into town, he looked up in a window in Jezreel, and there were three eunuchs up there, and Jezebel was up there, and he said, "Throw her down." Well, you can imagine the scene there, and the eunuchs threw Jezebel out of the window, and she went splat. I mean, the Bible's pretty graphic. Hey, don't you love the fact that the Bible just tells it like it is? I mean, listen, you don't even need a TV. You don't need Netflix, man. Just read the Bible. I mean, the Bible's full of stories that will captivate you. Well, here we were in VBS, and the pastor's running going, "And Jezebel fell out of that window, and she just went splat on the floor, on the road right there, and the dogs, here they come," you know, and all that. So anyway, I didn't sleep for a few days after that, but it's okay. But I just remember these stories. Well, she was the wife of Ahab, the king. And Ahab allowed her to seduce him into allowing the worship of false gods. And because of that, God was not pleased, and there were many that suffered. This was in the time of Elijah on Mount Carmel. You know that story. I'm getting into so many stories here, I don't want to confuse you. But you remember Elijah on Mount Carmel. He said, "Let's pray, and you pray to the prophets of Baal and see if the sacrifice is burned up with fire, and I'll pray to the God of Israel, and let's see what the Lord does." And the Lord burned up the fire. And it's an interesting story, by the way. Elijah, they took off and they went to Jezreel, Ahab in a chariot. And the Bible says Elijah just took off running. So here's a guy in a chariot taking off, you know, galloping with a chariot all the way to Jezreel. And the Bible says Elijah went in a foot race and just started running and outran the chariot. And he was sitting there at the gate waiting when they got there. I think that's pretty cool. The Lord gave him the strength to do that. But that's a whole nother message. But this girl Jezebel, this woman Jezebel, had taken God's people in a terrible way. Now, in Thyatira, there were these labor unions or guilds. You know, a guild, like a labor union for those that created the purple, those that dyed the wool, those that created the fabrics and things like that. They had their own celebrations for these guilds, and they worshiped the pagan gods. They worshiped the god Diana, who was the fertility god. They worshiped Apollos. And so all of these different guilds had their own celebrations. And what was happening was this Jezebel had told the people in the church, "It's okay, go ahead and worship them." And I tell you, it made the church corrupt. You could look at the church and there was no difference between the church people and the people that were unbelievers. Wait a minute, what did I just say? Let me say that again. You looked at the people in Thyatira in the church, and there was no difference between the church people and the people not in the church. Now, the challenge for us folks is we're all here because we're broken and the Lord's put us back together, right? So it's not with a judgmental spirit at all that we live a different life. We live a different life because we know how Satan burns us when we don't live by Jesus' way, right? Amen? So we want to go God's way. Not judging those outside, but telling them that if they come into the fold and give their life to Christ, Jesus will bring wonderful things into their life, and God will give them strength. God will help them. God will enable them to endure the hard times and the difficulty and perhaps even the persecution. And so this church, though, was totally corrupt. You couldn't tell the difference between the people in the church and the people not in the church, all right? So there are three things about this passage I want us to look at, and this is in your listening guide if you want to follow along. The first thing is this: the corrupt church was busy. In verses 18 and 19, he does recognize some things they are doing. He says to them, he says there, first of all, it says that he was the Son of God with a flame of fire. The Lord had penetrating eyes. He sees through Jezebel. He sees all. And then it says he had feet like brass. This is the idea of strength and stability. And he praises the church for some things. He says your works, your love, your service, your faith, your patience. Take your Bible and look at the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. If you'll go back to the book of Philippians chapter 1, I want to read a verse there. Before I read that, let me say this. He praises them for their works, for their love, for their service, for their faith, for their patience. And then he says in verse 19 something interesting. He says, the last is more than the first. What he means there is that now you're doing more of these works and things than you were at the beginning. In other words, they're getting busier and busier. Now, the church is a busy place, okay? Christians are busy doing service for the Lord. We have a number of opportunities that we have here at North Central that we are doing for the Lord, that we're busy. You come in here on a Wednesday night, I tell you, it's busy. We got dinner going on, we got kids doing Awana, we got international folks doing conversational English, we've got young people everywhere. I'm telling you, we got the libraries buzzing. I mean, there's people everywhere. We're busy. But here's the problem, and here's the thing. They were busy, and they were getting busier and busier. But the problem is they allowed deception and seduction in a teacher that had come there, okay? Now, in Philippians chapter 1, you realize that we have to balance this out, church. We have to balance out, listen to me, we have to balance out busyness and doctrine. We have to balance out what we do with what we believe and make sure that both of those are strong. Busyness is not the answer. But doing the Lord's work from a solid theology will please the Lord, but you can't lay one of them down. In Thyatira, the thing about Thyatira was that their love needs to be increasing, and yet they were lacking. Their love was increasing, their works were increasing, and yet they were lacking discernment. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, look at that. Philippians 1, 9, the Bible says this. Paul says, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more. But then it says, in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And so the theology had to be there, and in Thyatira it was not. They were following this Jezebel, all right? So we've got to make sure, we've got to realize that the corrupt church was busy. Just because we're busy doesn't mean we're doing everything the Lord wants to do, amen? Just because we're busy doesn't mean we're doing everything the Lord wants us to do. So the first thing is the corrupt church was busy. The second thing is the corrupt church was seduced. He says in verse 20, he says, I have a few things against you. I'm coming against you in a couple of things. He says, you allow Jezebel. Now Jezebel was, this lady's name in Thyatira was probably not Jezebel. But Jesus in John, as John wrote this, that the Lord wanted him to write, this was the same spirit of what Jezebel did. And so here was, you allow Jezebel, she not only led Ahab to worship Baal, but through Ahab had promulgated her teachings of idolatry throughout all of Israel. Now, if you go back to the book of 1 Kings chapter 16, if you want to find that, they'll probably put it on the screen. 1 Kings 16:31. Okay? 1 Kings 16:31. This is the passage that talks about what Jezebel did, who was married to Ahab. It says, "And it came to pass as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshiped him. Verse 32, this is 1 Kings 16:32. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. And so here in Thyatira, there was a woman teacher. And this woman teacher had convinced the church that they should be comfortable with worshiping the gods of Thyatira instead of worshiping only the Lord. And so she led them to idolatry. Now, the Lord is upset because they were tolerating this. Is this going to happen? Yes, these things are going to happen. But the fact that they were tolerating it is the problem here. Now, she had an authority problem. She called herself a prophetess. Now, there were prophetess teachers, women who were prophets, because we see this in Scripture. We see it in Luke 2:36. We see Anna, who was a prophetess. We see the four daughters of Philip in Acts chapter 21, verse 9. And we see Joel in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 28, where it says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Yeah, so this is not to say that there could not be someone, a lady, who would have the ability to teach God's word and to make important pronouncements for the Lord at this time, when, especially this time when the canon was not complete. God was raising up people to proclaim the word of God, okay? It even says in Ephesians chapter 4, and God gave some to be pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets. And those are for the work of the ministry in the church, the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says. So, but this woman was teaching wrong doctrine. She was not a prophetess. She had an authority problem. She was not under the authority of the church at all. Chuck Swindoll says she was cleverly deceptive. She was manipulative and dominant. That she was scheming. She was influentially wicked. She had a theology problem as well. She seduced the servants. The word seduce there means to cause someone to wander off path. Folks, listen. One of the things we have to always do, you have to do as a believer, you have to make sure that what you are teaching your children, what we are teaching in this church, are things that will not cause people to wander off path. The Lord is not happy with that. The Lord wants our message to be crystal clear that a life lived for Jesus Christ, sold out to Him, is the way to go, and without any mixture of what the world would want us to worship. What is the world wanting us to worship? The world is wanting us to worship material things. The world is in a sexual revolution where the standards of God they seem old-fashioned, or people say, that's ridiculous. That's, you know, get your life into the 21st century because, you know, all that Bible teaching about sexuality, all of these things. And what do we have to show for what the world says about sexuality? We have a pornography crisis in this nation. People that are in bondage to pornography. And so the world is saying, worship material things. Do what you want to do. And what had happened was, in Thyatira, they had brought that into the church through this woman's teaching. So she had a theology problem. She was seducing the servants to cause them to wander off path. Church, I just want to say this. What we believe matters. Because I tell you what, from belief comes actions. Sometimes some people just want to discuss just what we're doing. I understand that's important. But I tell you, sometimes you got to go back farther and say, why do we do what we do? We do things that we do because of what we believe. Because belief yields actions. Actions yields habits. And habits develops character. This stuff doesn't happen overnight, but it begins with beliefs. And so I encourage you to realize that's very important. She had a morality problem. She was leading them to commit sexual immorality and eat meat offered to idols. So Jezebel shows up and says, you're free in Christ. It's no big deal to you. Your morality is no big deal. But it is. And here the church was dancing with the world. It was a corrupt church. Now, I'm going to skip. I want to go down to verse 24. I want you to look at this. Because in his exhortation to those that did not believe what Jezebel was teaching, he reveals a little bit about Jezebel and her teaching. It says in verse 24, now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, okay? He's talking to those that are not believing this, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. Now, what does that mean, not known the depths of Satan? Some say that he's using a sarcastic phrase because she was talking about that her teaching used that phrase. Hey, we need to know the depths of Satan. Mount says that some use this phrase, in order to understand victory, we must go into the worst of Satan. You know, in 1 Corinthians 2:10, it talks about the deep things of God. Well, she talks about the deep things of Satan, the depths of Satan. It might have been something like this. Think about this. In order to understand victory, we must go into the worst of Satan. And maybe they phrased it like this. The only effective way to confront Satan was to enter into his strongholds. The real nature of sin could only be learned by experience. And therefore, only those who had really experienced sin could truly appreciate grace. So by experiencing the depths of paganism or the deep secrets of Satan, one would better be equipped to serve Christ or be an example of freedom to his brothers. This is the sin of Jezebel. And it was deadly serious because of the depths of its deception. Only a few perceived where the teaching was leading. This woman had actually convinced the church that it was okay to participate in all these celebrations of these gods that were in the guilds. And it was okay as a believer, because if you would go into the depths of Satan, into his strongholds, then you can come out victorious, and then you can better know how to serve the Lord. And so there was a real deceit to this. And so I want to point out that she was seducing the church, and that's basically what had happened. She had seduced the church. Now, what does the Lord say? He says, I gave her time to repent, verse 21, and she did not repent. Verse 22, it says, I will cast her into a sick bed. This is an image of judgment. God is going to give her a severe, debilitating judgment. The word cast means to hurl. I will hurl her into bed, and there will be great suffering for those who commit adultery with her. Then it says, I will kill her children with death, meaning that suffering would extend also to her followers. Those that followed her would have suffering as well, in verse 23. So he gives an image of a final judgment. By the way, in the book of 1 Corinthians, when we take the Lord's Supper, it says, be careful, examine yourself, because if you take the Lord's Supper in a way that's not pleasing the Lord, it says some are sick and some sleep. Well, the word sleep in the Bible means death. And so it's not out of the ordinary that God would say, look, somebody is so in such deception that I'll take their life. I'll take their life. And so that's what he brings judgment upon them. And then it says this, and all the churches will know. God knows the mind and the heart of all. There's nothing in our thoughts or desires that is hidden from Christ's penetrating gaze. So, we cannot tolerate wrong teaching. We've got to be straight on what it means to follow Jesus Christ and to live for Him. Well, you see that the church was busy. You see the church was seduced. But then the last thing, the church was exhorted. And it says this in verse 24. Now, to you, talking about those that do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. Verse 25, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. So how does he exhort the people that are not following Jezebel? He says, hold fast to what you have until I come. In other words, if you recognize that evil teaching, you hold on until I come. The Lord is coming again. You hold fast to what you have until I come. Keep my works until the end, Jesus said in Matthew 24. By the way, this is an interesting truth you find in the New Testament. You've heard the phrase, the perseverance of the saints, okay? That is a doctrine that says this, if you are born again, if you have been saved, the Lord will keep you to the end. You will persevere until the end. You say, well, I know somebody that got saved years and years ago, 20 years ago, and man, they're an atheist now. They don't even believe, they don't ever go to church, they don't ever read the Bible. They're actually antagonistic. You better watch out, because the Bible gives some hints here. Now, I believe that if a person is truly born again, that is a decision that they have been snatched by the Lord Jesus out of the grasp of Satan. They have been saved, and that is an act of God. It's not really what the person did. They just received the gift, right? But the Bible makes it clear that if you were really saved, you're going to persevere. The Bible, Jesus said that, you will persevere. And so you notice that he adds that. He says there, look at verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end. So I would just say this to you. If you are someone who says, yeah, you know, all this Jesus stuff was really sweet to me when I was a little kid, and I went to Vacation Bible School, and I was in Sunday school, I learned all the verses and learned everything, but I'm not really interested in that now, and I've kind of matured, I've grown up, all this Jesus stuff, you know, I don't, hey, let me tell you something, you are on thin ice. Now, a person's salvation is between them and the Lord. I'm not going to tell you that you're saved or you're not saved. I've learned through the years, I don't ever look somebody in the eye and say, hey, I know you're saved. I don't know that they're saved. You don't know that I'm saved. The Bible says being born again is like the wind. You see the results of the wind, but you don't see the wind. You just see the results of the wind. You should hopefully see the results of salvation in my life, and I should see the results of salvation in your life. But I've learned, don't ever tell someone, look them in the eye and say, I know you're saved. That's between them and the Lord. The Bible says that our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the children of God. That's between you and God. But I tell you one thing, I would be very careful if I was someone who had a childhood decision and I've just walked away from it all. That would be a scary place to be. Okay? And so he exhorts and he says, I'm going to promise you two things. Power over the nations in verse 26. Probably refers to the millennial reign of Christ, where God's people will live and reign with Christ. And it actually matches up this passage that is quoted in verse 27. That is from Psalm 2, verses 8 and 9. And so he says, I will give you power over the nations. You will reign. Hold on, Thyatira. Hold on to those who do not believe Jezebel. Hold on, because you will reign with me. I will give you power over the nations. And then it says in verse 28, I will give him the morning star. This is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in chapter 22, verse 16, it says he's the bright and morning star. And this suggests that the promise of the Lord's coming and the Lord Jesus himself in eternity is what is to be for those that hold on, for those that hold fast and do not listen to the wrong teaching of the Jezebel, okay? So here is the big thought for us as we close. Like Thyatira, our love can be increasing, yet lacking in the kind of discernment that is necessary to keep the church pure. We've got to not just be busy, but we can't let false teaching come in. So here are four things I would suggest that we do. Number one, stay busy, but don't neglect sound teaching. Stay busy, but don't neglect sound teaching. Number two, don't be seduced by those that teach you to be intertwined with the world system. If you've got people that are always trying to get you to bust your standards, they're always trying to get you to stretch out against what you believe God has wanted you to do, be careful about that. Number three, we must take our stand regardless of the pressure not to rock the boat. Folks, I don't know where this culture is going in America, but I tell you one thing. Our culture here at North Central, our desire to know and understand God's Word needs to be based upon God's Word, not going like this, listening to whatever the culture's saying, right? Well, that was kind of a weak amen, but I'll just take it that I snuck up on you on that, right? So we must take our stand regardless of the pressure not to rock the boat. And then the other thing is this, number four, repentance should be embraced now. It's interesting when the Lord called her out. He said, I gave her time to repent. Can I tell you this? And David Fox nailed it in his prayer today when he said, Lord, thank you for your love and for your mercy. And he emphasized that in his prayer. And we do worship the Lord because of his great mercy. If there was ever an attribute of the Lord, it's that he loves people and he will bring judgment. You mark it down. He will bring judgment. I'm telling you, he has given me every chance. He has given you every chance. And he says about this woman, he says, I tried to get her to repent, but she refused. I tell you, the big takeaway here is that repentance should be embraced now. And so God, if God is speaking to your heart, don't put it off. You repent of your sin and put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. If you are allowing some Jezebel theology in your life where you are mixing the world into your worship and you are allowing yourself to have one foot in the world, one foot in God's kingdom, and the Lord has convicted you, then you should repent. That is what you should do. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer together. If you're here today without Christ, today is the day to repent. Today is the day to put your faith and trust in Jesus. It's the cross, Jesus dying on the cross, that has enabled us to meet here today and to celebrate what he has done in our life. I encourage you, if you do not know Jesus in a personal way, to give your life to Christ today. Trust him to be your Savior. If you're a believer in Christ, I encourage you in this time to talk to the Lord as we worship him, as we sing, and say, Lord, I want to be surrendered to you. I want to repent of sin in my life so that our relationship would be right. Don't allow any theology from Jezebel to be a part of my life, but help me to share with a lost world that living for Jesus is the greatest life we could ever live, and not listen to the lies of this world that tell us to embrace other things and to worship other things.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.